Let's open up with prayer. Father, we come before you through the name, through the blood of Jesus. Hear the cry of your people, Lord. Hear their prayer. Father, as they come in faith, Lord, and our desire is to look more and more like you and less of ourselves. Lord, we just pray, Lord, as the time rolls on, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has his way. He prepares this bride for your coming. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would be an obedient people. Father, touch us. Use us for your glory, your honor. Lord, let us always give you the first fruits of our lives. May you be glorified in all of this. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. How many of you know that this is not a book, and I'm holding up the Bible, a book of suggestions? Anybody? Anybody think that anything God had to say in here was just simply a suggestion? Nobody. Well, I'm glad to hear that. These are words of life and life everlasting. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, Walt's going to want to know, what's the name of the sermon? He always, if I don't give it right away, he'll call me. Pastor Tom, what do you want to call it? So, well, we could call it this or we could call it that, but let's call it this. So today's sermon is called Obedience. Obedience. How many of you know the scripture? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to obey than sacrifice, which is why I said this is not a suggestion. A lot of the things God says are for our benefit. Not to destroy us, not to hurt us, but to give us his heart, his mind, his spirit concerning the life that we are going to live on this earth. Now, once we get born again and we say to God, here am I, save me, save me. We then say, I no longer am myself, but I have been bought at a price, a high price. And I'm not myself anymore. I'm dead to self, alive to Christ. Amen? So it's so important that when God gives us his word, we are obedient. Amen? So this is a story about Arabian horses. Arabian horses go through a rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. How many of you knew that? Anybody horse enthusiast? Judy. Arabian horses go through rigorous training in the deserts of the Middle East. The trainers require absolute obedience from the horses. And to test them to see if they are completely trained, the final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living thing. The trainer forces the horse to do without water for many days. Then he turns them loose, and of course they start running towards the water. But just as they get to the edge and ready to plunge in and drink, the trainer blows his whistle. The horses who have been completely trained and have learned perfect obedience stop. They turn around and come pacing back to the trainer. They stand and they quiver, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. When the trainer is sure that he has their obedience, he gives them the signal to go back and drink, as the others who did not obey still need much more training. Now, this may seem cruel, but when you are on the endless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to your horse, you had better have a trained, obedient horse. And as we as Christians must accept God's training, and yes, at times it may seem cruel and not as we as pictured God to be, we must obey him. As the Holy Spirit prepares the bride for his coming, we must also understand that he is also preparing us for the road in the desert of this life that we travel, from oasis to oasis, and not just simply wandering on our own. Only God knows where the best oases are for those who obey. Amen? Amen? Amen. So very important. So we wonder why we go through the things that we go through. Why does God allow us to go through the fire, go through the flame, go through the flood, go through all these things? It's to train us to obey what he tells us, because he knows what's best for us. How many of you know better than God? No. Amen. So we're going to be reading out of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. First Peter chapter 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through whose sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Now this is Peter speaking. Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begot us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inherit an incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's waiting there for you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through multifold temptations. How many of you are under temptation living in the flesh? All of us. I don't know what the thing is that's tempting you, but the devil knows exactly what to do, what buttons to push. Why? Well, simply because he was your master. He was your father. He knows your weaknesses. He also knows your strengths. And he knows how to tempt you. So just because you get saved, don't think it ends. It doesn't end. Manifold temptations are constantly plaguing the Christian. But if we are obedient to the word of God, we know how to fight it off. We know how to get to be the overcomer in the situation. Obedience to his word. How many of us taking the time to read the Bible again, especially the New Testament, and see where God calls us into obedience? Not simply suggest do this, but do this. Think this way. Talk this way. Be this way. It's an obedience that is up to us to either obey or not obey. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, because that's exactly what's happening right now, your faith is going to be tried, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, that's why we go through this. So at his coming, as his appearing, he will look and say, my good and faithful servant, you obeyed. You did everything. And when you failed, you came to me and said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me strength. Help me to make it over that hurdle, because I know it's coming up again. You ever see those runners when they're running and the hurdles are in front of them? And they leap over the first one and maybe they get over the second and then they trip over the third one. See, many of us are like that. We're on that track called life. And Satan throws up a hurdle. And if you obey the word of God, you'll get over those hurdles. But sometimes we think, you know what? I think I know a better way. I'm not going to obey what God says. I'm going to do it my way. That's when we trip up and we fall. We need to say, God, forgive me. I should have done it your way. I know what your word says. I should have done it that way. And leave the outcome to you. A recent licensed pilot was flying his private plane in a cloudy day. He was not very experienced in the instrument as far as landing. When the control tower was about to bring him in, he began to get panicky. Storm clouds had surrounded the plane, lightning, thunder, dark clouds, and all he had were the instruments that were in front of him, but he wasn't confident in those instruments. I'd much rather land this plane with what I can see. So he calls to the tower. And when the control tower was bringing him in, he began to get panicky. And then a stern voice came over the radio. "You just obey the instructions we give, and we'll take care of the obstructions." Wow. So too is God's small, still voice in the believer today. If you just obey the instructions, and I'm holding up the Word of God, I'm holding up the Bible for those of you who listen to this on a recording. I'm holding this up. If you listen to the instructions, the Word of God, you obey them, you will land safely. Amen?
Amen.
God will take care of the obstructions. Do you know that? God will take care of the obstructions. You just simply obey. Obey. But God, no, there is no but God. If you want to land safely in life, especially when there's something in front of you, there's storms, there's lightning, you can't see 2 inches in front of your face, you've got to believe in faith that his instructions are going to get you down. He'll take care of the obstructions. He'll bring you in safely if we obey. But if we say, no, I can't, I'm going to land this my way, it never turns out good, and it's not a pretty landing. A friend often told me about the problems he was getting his son to clean his room. The son would always agree to tidy up, but then he wouldn't follow through. Ever have a kid like that? The son would always agree to tidy up, but then wouldn't follow through. After high school, the young man joined the Marine Corps. And when he came home for leave after basic training, the father asked him what he had learned in the service. "Dad," he said, "I learned that when we are given a command and give the reply, 'Yes, sir,' and fail to obey means life and death for the Marine and those who trusted in our response to those commands." Think about that. Same any branch of service, but this young man was a Marine. And he understood if he was given a command and he said to that sergeant, captain, general, "Yes, sir," he had better follow through. Because if he didn't, his life and the life of the other Marines would probably be in danger. And possibly lose their lives. So too the Christian who responds to the Almighty with, "Yes, Lord," and fails to do what has been asked of them, they too will put themselves in danger and maybe others. Think about that. Think about that. As a Christian, and the Lord says to you, "My son, my daughter, I need you to do this." And we say, "Yes, Lord," and fail to do it. Remember, there's an enemy out there that wants to kill you, destroy you, rob you, leave you naked, bleeding. And if he can, he'll take your life and those loved ones that you've been entrusted to. We have a very, very deadly enemy. And yes, he has armies that follow him, that obey him. But remember, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. No, actually, let's go to Matthew chapter 21. We'll get back to 1 Peter. Matthew 21, verse 28 says this, "But what think ye?" Jesus speaking to the crowd. "A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the day in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he repented, and he went. And then he came to the second son and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' and he went not. And Jesus said, whether of the twain did the father's will? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Think about that. How many say to God, no, but then turn around and do what he says to do. And when he says to his own people, go, oh, we'll go, God. We'll do whatever you ask, and don't. They understood this. And Jesus said to them, and he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and those who said they were of God. There was nobody higher than them. They were the upper crust of the religion of the day. And Jesus says to them, the publicans, that means politicians, the publicans, the harlots, go into the kingdom before you because they tell me no, but then go and do what I've asked them to do. He's talking about the sinner who turns and says, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. What is it that you desire from me? And they go and do what he says to do. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in the 13th verse. Wherefore, gird up your loins, your minds be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves after the according of the former lust of your ignorance. In other words, don't go back to your sinful old ways. But as he which has called you holy, so ye be holy in all your manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is this a commandment? It's a commandment. Is it a suggestion? It's not a suggestion. So now you're left with the choice, and I love that. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Should I be holy or should I be like my old sinful self? What shall I do in any given situation that comes my way? Because let me tell you something. Sinful things will come up in your life and you'll be left with the choice. Do I obey God or don't obey God? Do I do what I think is right or do I do what I know God says is right? And it's always a choice. God doesn't force you. God does not force you. God says, choose ye this day in whom you will serve. Will you serve God through his word by obeying? Or will you simply say, not today, not in this situation, not in this particular problem I'm facing, but it's up to you. God will never force you. The Bible always says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Again, God does not kick down the door, grab you by the hair and says, you will obey me. You will do it my way. No, he stands at the door and knocks. His word knocks at your heart, knocks at your soul. He knocks. Will you answer? Will you obey? Will you go and open the door to his word and say, Lord, your way, not my way? Because I know where my way ends up. It's always in disaster. It's always in death. It's always in heartbreak because they did not obey what you said to do. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, I often thought, wouldn't it be great if God gives us a command, basically like kicking down the door, grabbing us by the hair and saying, you're going to do what I say to do. How many of you had a parent like that? Grazed up as an Italian, let me tell you something. If you didn't do it mom and dad's way, oh, they would kick down your bedroom door, grab you by your hair, and you were going to do what they told you to do. I told you to take out the garbage. I told you to cut the grass. I told you to do this. I told you to do that. And if you said no and I'm keeping the door closed, they would kick in the door. Oh, they would kick in the door. Maybe it wouldn't be a physical kick. It might be a verbal kick. Then, and you knew you were in trouble when they started going, your proper name, Thomas! Not Tommy or Tom, it's Thomas! You knew they were kicking in your door. You knew you were in trouble. There were other choice words they use, it wasn't Thomas, but being Italian from the old country, words you don't want to know about, not in church, they would call you. And you knew you were in trouble, amen? How we admire the obedience of a dog shows in its master. A reporter wrote one day as he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to the reporter how it happened. Because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest to perform some work. His faithful friend understood, and that's exactly what he did. Then a fire started in the woods. Soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left, but he did not move. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog owner said, "I had always been careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it. If I had only known the dangers of that command." We as Christians know first our God knows all things that pertain to our faith walk in this life that we walk. He would never willingly put us in harm's way with a command knowing it would end at our death physically or spiritually without a way of escape to eternal reward for such obedience. Always remember, we are inscribed on the palm of his hand. And if God says, today is the day you're going to have to give up your life, it's not for any willy-nilly reason or because God screwed up. God doesn't screw up. God's plans are perfect. I often think of the death of David Wilkerson, driving down the road and a tractor trailer hit the car. God took him home that way. I think of Pastor Mariano down in Norwalk. He was in a nursing home behind a pulpit preaching to a bunch of senior citizens, stepped out of the pulpit, and God took him home. God's way is perfect. How you get there is his plan, not your plan. I had an uncle that died in his sleep, and I keep saying to God, that's the way I want to go. If you ain't going to rapture me in time and I got to go, I want to go that way. But I have to leave it in his hands. His ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. So however God says that's how you're coming home, it's a perfect plan. It's the way that God desires to take us home. I think about poor David Wilkerson in that tractor trailer, but I don't think in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he even knew it. God might have taken him before that tractor trailer even hit the car. Our God is merciful. Amen? Now, Psalms 116:15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So just don't think God willy-nilly picks off his Christians. We think about all those Christians overseas in Nigeria and Somalia and in these Arabian states that are getting killed. You don't think God, they're precious in God's sight. But God knows this life is like a vapor and it's over. All eternity waits for us. So how he willing to take us? Lord, here are we. I know we're all praying for the rapture, and I know it's soon and very soon. But not all of us are going to make it. Not because you weren't faithful, not because you're born again, but God said, no, your mansion is ready now. Come home. Come home. Can you imagine if we said to God, you know what? Not yet. I'm not done. Oh, no. No. I think about my daughter-in-law, Janine. Three times Jesus has come to her. Are you ready to come home? No, not yet. I looked at her the first time. I said, you got to be kidding me. You told him not yet? Here you are. You can't move a muscle. You can barely move your head and you can speak. That's it. Your body's like a plastic bag filled with water. And you told him not yet? Not once. Three times. Three times. Oh, I want to see my kids graduate. Oh, I want to see my kids get married. Oh, I want to see, you know, you can see that stuff from heaven. You know you can see that in glory. You know that you can see that. See, Jesus wouldn't have to say to me, are you ready to come home? Because he would go, are, and I'd be there. I'd be there. I love my family dearly, and I love my church fellowship dearly, but if God says, are, and that's it, he knows. That's why he doesn't ask me, are you ready to come home? I'm ready to go home. How about you? I'm homesick. Amen. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you call on the Father who is without respect of persons, judge ye according to every man's work, pass your time soldiering in fear. Am I obeying his word? Am I bringing him glory? When I see the Father in prayer, when I see the Lord Jesus, when I see is there a smile on their face? Am I doing what he's asked me to do? Is it pleasing to him? Am I giving him my best, my first fruits of my life, and all that he's asked me to do? Or am I just piecemealing it? Oh, well, he asked me to do this. Give it a little try. Or am I putting my whole heart, mind, soul, everything into what he's asked me to do? Because it's not really me that's doing it, but the Holy Spirit through me. So think about that. When you give it your all, you're just saying, Holy Spirit, I'm getting out of the way. Here am I, use me. It can't be me. It can't be my wisdom. It can't be my strength. It's got to be God through me. Amen? This is Charles Swindoll. Imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, look, I'm going to leave, and while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You will manage things while I'm away, but I will write you regularly, and when I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I return from the trip. Everyone agrees. He leaves and stays gone for a couple of years. During that time, he writes often, communicating his desires and his concerns. Finally, after a few years, he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company, immediately discovers that everything is a mess. Weeds are flourishing in the flower beds. Windows are broken across the front of the building. The gal at the front desk is out cold, sleeping to loud music, roaring from several of the offices. Two or three people are engaged in horseplay in the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. And without hesitation, he calls everyone together. With a frown, he asks, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? You say, oh yeah, sure. We got all your letters, they said. We've even bound them together in a book. Some of us have even memorized them. In fact, we've come and studied them every Sunday. You know, those are really great letters. I think the president would then ask, but what did you do about my instructions? And no doubt the employees would respond, do? Well, nothing. But we read every one. Would you like us to quote some of them back to you? Oh, boy, is that the condition of the church today? Oh, yeah, we studied it and we read it. And did you do any of it? Were you obedient? Alas, the modern Christian of today, most, not all, head knowledge, no heart knowledge. No heart knowledge. Today's Christians think that we no longer need instruction. I know it all, not desiring fresh bread from heaven. Oh my goodness. I've read that All right, back to 1 Peter chapter 1. For inasmuch that you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by the traditions of your fathers, and being Italian, they got a lot of traditions. I don't know about how you grew up. But with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times. Who by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God? Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, though the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Which liveth and abideth. This is alive. Let it be alive in you. Obey. God knows every situation that you're ever going to face. Every problem that you think has come up is new. No one else has ever experienced. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing under the sun that God don't know about, that he has not already, for those who've come before us, prepared a way of escape. And that way of escape is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You are born again. His ear is attentive under your cry. Satan knows he can only go so far with you and no further, because you're born again. And if we'd simply obey his word, go back through his word and start to read. Wow, this is a commandment from God. This is something I need to obey. This isn't simply a suggestion. This is something he desires from me. Lord, here am I. Whatever you call me to do, I will do, Lord. Because it's not me, but your spirit that resides in me. He's constantly telling us, remember what my word says. Remember what I desire for you. Remember how I spoke to you through the teaching, the preaching. Whether it be in word and print, whether it be on the computer, whether it be in person, remember what I have told you. Obey. Simply obey. Lord, as we bow our knee in front of your throne, we bow our knee, O God, to your word. For the word became flesh. Lord, our obedience is to heaven, to your name, to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, let us be called an obedient people, even in this hour, even in this generation, even in the age we find ourselves in, Lord. Whether we be young or old or, Lord, ready to come home, it doesn't matter. Lord, that we will be found an obedient people. Lord, touch us this morning. Let us be, O God, that which pleases you. That, Father, on that day that we pass from this life into the next, that, Lord, upon your face we see a smile, not a frown, not a tear, but, Lord, a rejoicing. That your children have come home. Lord, touch each and every one of us today. Lord, let it be said of us, if nothing else, they were obedient. We pray these things through the name and through the blood of Jesus, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.